Chapter 10. Treasure in a Cave. Squire Trelawney met us at the mouth of the cave. He was glad to see me and shook my hand warmly.
"Welcome to Ben Gunn's cave, young Jim," he said. "I'm so glad to see you looking so well. Not that long ago, I thought we would never see you again. We thought the pirates had got you."
"I'm glad to see you too, Squire Trelawney," I replied. "I'm sorry I went off on my own and worried you all."
"Don't you worry, young Jim," he replied. "You are safe and well, and that's all that matters."
But when Silver greeted him, he was quite different.
"You're a wicked pirate, Long John Silver," he said. "But Dr. Livesey wants to spare your life. I do not feel the same way. I think you are a dangerous man. Just remember how many men you have killed, how many lies you have told, and how much money you have stolen."
"Yes, sir," said Silver politely, looking down at his boots.
We all went into the cave. It was a large place with a little stream running through it. The floor was sandy and soft to walk on. We found Captain Smollett lying in front of a fire. Near him, thousands of gold coins, gold bars and jewels lay in great heaps, shining softly in the firelight. Here was the treasure we had come so far to find. Here was the treasure that had cost so many lives and caused so much suffering. Many men had risked their lives to find it. Had it been worth it? I wondered. What a dinner we had together that evening. Ben Gunn cooked goat's meat for us all, and we added things to it from the stores on the Hispaniola. Everyone was so happy that night. We had the treasure, we had the ship back, and soon we would be going home. In the morning, Dr. Livesey and Squire Trelawney took the first load of treasure back to the Hispaniola. It was a 15-minute walk from the cave to the beach. Then it took 30 minutes to row from there to the ship. There was a lot to carry and the gold was very heavy. It took 3 days to load all the treasure onto the ship. We knew there were still some pirates on the island, so we kept a careful lookout all the time. My job was to sit in the cave, sort the coins, and pack them into cloth bags. I enjoyed sorting the coins. There was such a strange collection. Some were English coins and some were French. Some were Spanish coins and some were Portuguese. There were a few from other places too. It took me 2 days to sort and pack the huge pile of coins. When I had filled a few bags, I carried them to the entrance of the cave. From here, Ben Gunn carried the treasure to the beach. Then Dr. Livesey rowed it all to the Hispaniola, where Squire Trelawney and Silver were waiting for him. Finally, the Squire and Silver unloaded the rowing boat and loaded the treasure onto the ship. Then Dr. Livesey rowed back to the beach and waited for Ben Gunn to appear with the next load of treasure. On the third day, when we had finally finished loading the treasure onto the Hispaniola, I stood near the cave with Dr. Livesey and Silver. All of a sudden, we heard men shouting and screaming.
"It's the pirates," I cried. "They're coming to find us, and the treasure."
Dr. Livesey shook his head.
"I don't think we're in any danger, Jim," he said. "They sound as if they are sick. I'm a doctor, and if they need my help, I will go to them."
"Don't do that, Dr. Livesey," replied Silver. "They're cowards, but they're cruel men. It's a trick. They want you to think they're weak. They want you to go to them. Then they will kill you."
"Very well," replied Dr. Livesey. "But I think we should leave some goat's meat and biscuits for them in the cave. We can leave some medicine for them too."
So we placed these things in the cave, together with some tools, some rope and some clothes. Dr. Livesey left some bullets, so that they could shoot animals for food. When all the treasure was on board the Hispaniola, we took some water and goat meat for the journey. Captain Smollett said,
"There's just one more thing we must do. The Hispaniola must fly the Union flag."
We hung the Union flag on the flagpole, and then, on that fine sunny morning, we pulled up the anchor. At last we were on our way home. As we passed the south point of the island, we saw the pirates on the beach. They were kneeling in the sand and holding out their hands, begging us not to leave them behind on the island. "What should we do?" I asked. "Should we take them with us, or should we leave them on the island?" Squire Trelawney frowned.
"If we took them back to England, they would be put in prison," he said. "It would be kinder to leave them here on the island."
Dr. Livesey called out to them.
"We can't take you back with us," he shouted. "But we've left you some food and medicine. There are tools, rope and clothes too. We left them over there for you."
He pointed towards the cave.
"In that cave."
When we passed close by the pirates, one of them gave a loud cry of rage and fired his gun at us. The bullet whizzed past Silver's head. He quickly ducked down and it just missed him. That was the last we saw of them. It was the last we saw of Treasure Island, too. Soon we were far out at sea. Sailing the ship was hard work because the weather was stormy and we didn't have enough men. Captain Smollett was a little better, but he still needed to rest. He lay on a mattress on the deck and called out his orders to the rest of us. It was clear that we would have to find more sailors, so Captain Smollett told us to head for the nearest port. This was in South America. It was a long way away, and we had to sail for several hours. By sunset, the port finally came into sight.
"Land ahoy!"
shouted the captain from his mattress. Everyone was very tired from all the hard work and glad to see dry land again. When the ship was safely tied to the dock, Dr. Livesey, Squire Trelawney and I went ashore. What a welcoming sight it was. The port was full of suntanned men wandering around selling many different types of fruit and vegetables. We smiled when we saw their friendly faces under the twinkling lights. As we walked around the little town, we met an English sea captain. He was a friendly man and invited us to go on board his ship. We happily agreed. The sea captain gave us a good meal. We told each other tales of our adventures, and as the time passed by, the stories became more and more exciting. When we finally got back to the Hispaniola, the sun was coming up. We'd been much longer than we planned to be. We found Ben Gunn alone on deck. He looked very upset, and he had very bad news to tell us. Silver had gone. And he had taken a big bag of treasure with him. Long John Silver had shown us that he was a pirate, and like all pirates, he would steal if he got the chance. He had seen the chance, taken it, and got clean away.
"They're wicked thief! He will be caught and punished," growled Squire Trelawney. "I wish I could do it myself."
But there was nothing we could do. We hired our new crew and took on more food and water. Then we set off for home. It was a long journey, but we had no more adventures. When at last we sailed into Bristol, I was happy to be back in my own country. At last I would see my mother again. As we unloaded the ship, Dr. Livesey said,
"Of the men who started this adventure, only four are left. Squire Trelawney, Captain Smollett, Jim, and me."
Each of us had a share of the treasure. Squire Trelawney went back to the hall, and Dr. Livesey became a doctor again. Captain Smollett decided not to go back to sea. Ben Gunn had a share of the treasure too, but he spent it all in 3 weeks. He was soon looking for another ship to sail on. We heard no more of Long John Silver, the one-legged pirate. I hope that journey was his last. I hope he was caught, as pirates usually are, and punished for his life as a pirate captain. As for me, Jim Hawkins, I shall never forget my great adventure. In my dreams, I still see the wild shores of Treasure Island. I still hear Captain Flint the Parrot squawking, "Peaches are right, peaches are right." But I am happy enough now. After my journey to Treasure Island, I promised myself that I would never go to sea again. And I never did.